is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cota, Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we are welcoming fellow blogger and interior designer Griet Lefevre, all the way from Belgium. And Griet's blog is the very popular Belgian Pearls, and her business is Lefevre Interiors. So Griet, thank you for so much for joining us at the Skirted Roundtable.
Hello, Linda. Hello, Joni. Hello, Megan. I'm very pleased to be here. And I feel honored, honestly, to have this interview with you today.
Well, it's always fun to talk to someone in a different country. We're talking to you in Belgium, courtesy of Skype. And we enjoy your blog. You always have such interesting things. So we're excited to learn more about you. Why don't you tell us, I know that your family business has been around since 1890. So why don't you maybe talk to us a little bit about your family business, and we'll talk about your blog.
Okay. So yes, as you said, my business started in 1890, and it was my grandfather who started actually, but it was, how can I say, just a carpenter, a real carpenter. And then my grandfather, started to make furniture, made to measure furniture for all the people in the city. So there was one furniture maker or cabinet maker in the city. So everyone was coming to order his furniture to my grandfather. And then my father, he started working in the business when he was about 20 years old. And he wanted to make it
more commercial, maybe?
More commercial, yes, more commercial. And he started to work with employees, and then after, it was in about 1992, I was in a business together with my brother, and so now it's about 18 years that I am now in a business with, I was first with my father, but my father passed away 10 years ago. And so my brother and I, we are now together in the business for cabinet makers. And the essential thing we do is the very made-to-measure interiors. So we work with architects. We work just for the people, the particular people who are coming to us. And they can choose whether it is with their architect or whether I have to make a design or my brother had to make a design. Yeah, that's my core business for the moment.
So, Griet, did you go to school?
I'm sorry, Megan?
Did you go to a secondary school to learn interior design, or did you just fall into it and learn on the job?
Well, not at all. I didn't went to school for the interior design, but you have to know, in the first 2 years of when I was joining my father in the business, my job was the administration, because I graduated on administration management and so. But because I was, as a child, I was always involved with everything on interior. So our father, he always we were always together searching for new designs and so on. So he involved us with everything. And we went with him to the museums, fairs, and so on. So my interest in design was growing during all those years. So that's why I wanted to join my father in another way, not only for the administration. And then when 2 or 3 years after, to a school for antique, graduate for antiques dealer, because I was very interested in antiques. And then I went also for the weekend, I was opening the shop for an antique dealer, a well-known antique dealer, and just to learn about everything about antiques and interior design also. And that's why I do what I'm doing now.
So it's really been a way of life for you. I mean, it generationally and
yes, of course, yes. It's this very, how do I say, a hard working job I have to do, because We are only with three people, so my brother, me, and my husband, and we have to do it all. So not only the interior design, but also administration and so on, and the following up of the works.
Who actually makes the cabinetry?
There are the cabinetry is made. We are with about 7 employees, and in our working shop. So
okay.
The cabinetry. But my husband is he is involved in the following up on the working shop. So he has a very hard job. He has to see that everything is going well and that everything is ready in time. We always have a delivery time because our clients always ask, okay, when can I get the cabinets? When can I get my library? So it's very, we are always depending on time, and we are only with 7 employees, so we are a small company, you know. So I have also a lot of things to do in administration, and then the following up with the clients, all the meetings with the clients to make the designs, the first designs. That's also my job. And when I come home with the meeting with the clients, and I prepared a little design, my husband has to work it out technically. So we're very hardworking people.
Yeah. So your husband, he does like computer renderings of your designs.
Yes, he does. Yes, indeed. And then so the computer renderings, and then also the technical designs for the people, for the employees, that they can start in our working place, you know.
Yeah.
So was your husband, was he doing in this line of business before?
I was wondering that myself, Megan.
I mean, I'm thinking, what a brilliant, I would love to be able to come home and go, okay, hon, now you figure out all the technical stuff.
Yeah. Well, but it happens that divide the work. How do you say that? So I have to go because there are a lot of people who are asking to come for the interior to make a design. So sometimes my husband is also going for to a meeting, and we have to say, okay, you have to go there, I have to go there today, and in the evening and in the weekend, then we are talking about the design together, we're talking about how to do the technical things also, if I want to design it like that, and is it possible to make it also like that in our working shop. We work together on one client's project, if it is possible, and if it is not, well, then I have to go to clients and he has to go to clients on a meeting. Yeah.
Yep.
When you met him, was he in this line of business?
Well, he was in a business of the conservatories here in a company not so far from our company. But we met on a fair, actually, and he was representing the company he worked for then, and I was representing my company, of course, and we start talking about wood and all the stuff. And so, yeah, it was, how do I say that? There was a click because he loved the wood. He's also a violin and a guitar maker. He makes beautiful violins and all things with wood. He loves. So
I'm sorry, did you say he makes violins?
Violins. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
But he has not that time anymore to make 3 or 4 a year, maybe once a year, because it is something that is very intensive working. You have to be very patient to make a violin, very, very patient. But it's so beautiful, really. I always enjoy when I see him making a violin. It's beautiful. And so, yes, he is very passionate about everything about wood. Also, he loves, I think you have seen it on my blog, he loves working outside, he loves building, and our outhouse, say outhouse anymore, outbuilding. Because it was hilarious a few weeks ago that I wrote outhouse, because here in Belgium we say outhouse,
yeah.
But it's another It's another meaning, I
yes.
think.
Yes, it yes. is.
So I have to say outbuilding. So yes, and building our home, Jan is also has done a lot of work. He has done the carpet. How do you say that? The roof. The roof.
Oh, the roof. The
carpentry on the roof. Yes, he did it alone on his own. Also the outbuilding, he built on his own, and he liked to work with wood.
Belgium design is, you know, so popular and yeah, so yeah. in style right now. Why don't you talk about, you know, what makes up Belgian design? How do you describe it? When did it get popular? You know, just kind of talk about that for a minute.
All right. Well, I think, Joni, that our Belgian design, I have to say, I think I have to explain something about Belgian people to understand what's Belgian design, because Belgian designers, they are very loyal to their ancestors. So in general, Belgian people are very loyal to everything that to the work of their ancestors. So they have a lot of respect for the work, and they try to live and to work further in the mind of their ancestors. So that's why they take over from father to son the business, and that's why as my company, we are the fourth generation, and in Belgium there are a lot of companies with the fourth or fifth generation of people who are doing the business. So there is a treasure of experience among Belgian craftsmanship and designers, and so I think you have to say that the Belgian style, the interior design style, is quite simple, because they use very natural materials, as wood, as the oak, mostly oak, and fabrics, so as natural stone. So in particular, you will see the Belgian blue stone is very well known to use in Belgian design, and also the neutral backgrounds here. We always try to use very neutral colors in the background, and more maybe combinated with more vivid colors, but just in for example, window treatment, cushions in the seats, that are always the vivid colors, and in contrast with the subdued colors in the background. And what's very important is, of course, the use of reclaimed materials, and that's why I wanted to say Belgians love to work further in the work, the mind of their ancestors, and they used the materials for a second or a third generation. So they want to have the materials, the older materials they are used to. And also the use of lime paint is a way for having respect for the old houses, for the work our ancestors did. So I think that's it's to my opinion, it's just because the respect for history that we have the Belgian interior design as it is now. You know, I hope you will understand me.
Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think influences this very distinct look? What is it about the environment in Belgium? I've never actually been there. I've only been on a train going through, so I don't know enough about the history of the country to understand what all the influences are. I mean, obviously, you know, the natural materials are certainly an influence, but the color palette is always, you know, very distinct, as you said. What do you think influences that?
I think we love to bring in nature in our interior. So you have to know that here in Belgium, it's a small country, and we all have the same weather. If you are from Ypres or if you're from Brussels, we have the same weather. It's not as in the US that there are so different regions of. We have four seasons, and I think there are not that much difference in colors, you know. Of course, the sun is there, but we are used to see more subdued colors. It's a green, but not the green that you see, for instance, if you go to southern, more southern at the south of France or Spain, the colors are not that vivid here, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that's also, it could be a reason why we love to use the subdued colors as the gray, the brown, the beige colors. It could be a reason. It could be a reason. Mm-hmm. If maybe also, you know, very influenced the man who influenced Belgian interior design a lot is of course Axel Vervoort, and I know every architect, every designer love to see what he is doing, love to see what is coming up, what trend he will be setting in the next days, the next years. It's unbelievable, and you see. I don't know if you know the names of a lot of designers here in Belgium, but you see always in every work you see with the one architect is maybe just a small influence, but with another is it unbelievable the influence of Axel Vervoort. It's
before Axel Vervoort became popular. Yes. Was Belgian design much different than it is as we know it today?
Was it different? I can say yes or no, because we had a few architects, and I am thinking about Rombouts, who was also a very known architect that has made his mark onto Belgian design. And yeah, I could say, yes, it was different. It was different, but you had also the reclaimed materials that was existing in Belgian design. But I think that Axel Vervoort he put it something of his own that we never saw before, like using very simple materials. For instance, you have a top of a round table and you hang just the top on the wall, and it was a decorative item. It became a wonderful decorative item. And that's, I think, that's a great change to do something in your home with a simple object, and it makes a home decorative and elegant and simple. So, Joni, if you ask, yes, maybe it was different in a way. We love to use the same materials, but on another way. When Axel Vervoort was coming his way, he learned us how to make your house beautiful and not so full anymore. So he learned us to get rid of the clutter. And he said, okay, he liked the materials we always were used to, but he added something more. And in a way that you could say, well, get rid of everything that is too much, and you will see that your house or your interior can be very beautiful without all those stuff who is too much. You understand?
Yeah, simplify.
Yeah.
No clutter.
No clutter.
No overly ornate.
Yeah, that's why I don't know. I read all the books of Axel Vervoort, and in one of his books, he explaining the world in Dutch, it is volledig, vol and ledig, and it explains full and empty. So he wants us to have in our home a room who is between brackets full and a room who is between brackets empty. So he wants to say you have, depending on the state of mind of you have on a day, you feel you can spend some hours in a library who is full of books and decorative items, and in another room you can meditate in a room who is more empty. So he loves the alternation between empty and full. And that's always a vision he has, and that he brought into Belgian interior design, because if you see his books and his rooms, you will notice in the same project, he always has a room with more decorative, with decorative items, and a room with a meditation room, as in his castle, for example. So a lot of designers have taken this philosophy over from him.
He also uses the very large, overscaled, slip-covered sofa, very plain.
Indeed.
Did he introduce slip covers to Belgium?
Yes, I can say yes, Julie. That's true. That was Axel de Voort who introduced that. Oh yes, certainly.
Yeah, his influence is amazing. I mean, when you think of just like restoration hardware today,
yes.
There's a whole company in America that's riding on Axel's coattails. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Now,
yes.
Can I ask, are you familiar with the Restoration Hardware products? You probably are from the blogs.
Yes,
how
I am.
How would you look at them as far as authenticity?
it's difficult for me to say, but it's...
Oh, go ahead.
Won't offend us.
You won't offend us.
I have no stock in the company.
Right.
No. I can compare it with the Flamand style here in Belgium. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's very cozy, and there are some good stuffs. Maybe the more decorative items, but not the furniture. I think the furniture, I really don't like it.
Does it look like a canvas?
It's more a copy. It's a copy. Of everything, and I don't like copies. I love something authentic and more. How can I explain? I don't know how to explain in English. I can feel when I see something. I always think, well, there is no soul. When I see, I don't feel a soul in that furniture. I hope they. The people of Restoration Hardware are not angry now.
No, I mean, I think I agree. I think what they did was, you know, they jumped on a trend, and then they sort of retrofitted some of their existing catalog line with the, you know, like, okay, now let's have a limed oak leg on a chair that was a French chair. It's sort of like taking the pieces and parts of it and tricking people, I think, into thinking this is traditional, but it's interesting to hear, you know, someone who truly knows the look.
Yes.
I mean, it's your look, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, you know, it brings it. Not everybody can afford the authentic pieces.
No, that's why I think it's not bad, because you say it, Linda. That's not for everyone can afford the things of Axel de Voort, of course not. So I think you have, if you choose something from Restoration Hardware, don't take or don't you choose all the furniture from Restoration Hardware, but you have to combine some things. So maybe you choose a seat from Restoration Hardware with a table of another company, because otherwise you really see when you're coming in, you really feel from something is wrong here, something is too much, and I think you have to combine it.
I think that's kind of a it's a common thing here in America for people who, it's so easy to get these catalogs. I know, well, our direction team has art department has put together these layouts, so people sort of rip out the pages, they walk into their mall, they walk into whatever store, the Pottery Barn or Restoration Hardware, and they just buy the whole set and bring it home. And it's always bothered me because there's no life. It's very flat, like you were saying.
Yes.
It's sort of like, you know.
It is. You know, Megan, I think all those furniture that is made in series, so it's not a unique piece. So I know maybe the seats from Axel de Voort or something, okay, they are made maybe by a dozen or something, but they can always be made to measure. So it's another thing than the furniture from Restoration Hardware. It's a serial product, you know. That's why it's so flat.
There's no soul. But, you know, I think that people, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't have all the money to go out or the resources, but I think you don't have to have a lot of money to bring in, to break up that monotony of these pieces that have been made, like you were saying, you can mix it up. And that is what brings the soul into the room rather than the flatness.
Yes, I think so. Yes, indeed. Yes, you have to mix the items from restoration hardware with other furniture and decorative items. I know.
Fabrics.
But and then it will be okay. Then you can have, for example, a seat from restoration hardware mixed with beautiful furniture of another company. I don't know, but I know. I feel when I see the catalog of restoration hardware, I have to say it's really good done. They have beautiful pictures, but I feel from oh my god, it's too much now. Now it's too much. It's not good anymore. But if you see then if you go browse the catalog and you only see the picture of one piece of furniture, then it's okay. But bring them all together, it's too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's a beautiful, beautiful catalog, and it's beautiful furniture for what it is, you know, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want your entire room done restoration hardware.
or
bits and pieces are great.
Yeah.
So, great. Why don't you tell us how you got into blogging?
Okay, yes. Well, Joni, I was, I think, about 2 years before I started, I had discovered some blogs, but I didn't know that it was a blog because I was searching something on or I was Googling for example, tables or chairs and suddenly I came to blogs, but I didn't realize that it were a blog because I didn't know the word blog. So I was looking it up and I thought, my God, what is this? I haven't seen it before. And then I have to say, like many people have to say, you were one, Joni, from the first blogs I read because there was, and it was because there wasn't, you ever have done a post about, I think, something about skirted tables. And I found a picture of our our company was on my website.
I know that picture.
a good queen skirt was it? And I say, oh, what's that? And I was following your blog because I said, oh my God, here is a picture of our company in the U.S. And that's why I followed your blog. And then I realized that there were so many blogs. And a lot of others that I didn't comment it or something. I just went to visit the blogs just for the pictures, and then I started to read all the blogs, really reading. And I said, "Oh, this must be so wonderful to get to know all those people and to join to talk about with him about interior design all over the world." So that's why I was searching for Belgian blogs, and I really didn't find Belgian interior blogs. And that's why I said to myself, I said, okay, what me? When can I start a blog? And then I called, because there was a few months before, I really was, I don't know anymore what it was exactly, but Brooke from Velvet and Linen has done a post, I think it was about a children's room, and I really was following this because I was on a project for a children's room, and I thought, oh, I will do a comment on the blog of Brooke, and then I came in contact with her, and I asked her, so Brooke, I really wanted to start a blog, but how introducing me from Belgium into that blogging community, because I really did not anything about blogging. And then she said, oh, no problem. Send me some information and pictures of the company. And so that was the first day I opened my blog. And the day after, Brooke had posted an article. And yeah, there it was. So I was introduced. And I really, at some time, it's so overwhelming. I can't believe that so many people from around the world are reading my blog, even my clients, and they email me, oh, we love the post you did today, and we love to have an interior of the Swedish interiors, and yeah, I really have a lot of reaction on it.
Have you gotten any business from it locally? Or?
Yes. And now it's just about 1 year I'm blogging, from July 2009. And it was really not my first thought about having a client from through blogging. I really didn't know if that worked, if that could work. But now I'm preparing a wonderful work in Switzerland through blogging. And in contact with another lady from Switzerland and from Romania. And I think it will be a very, very beautiful project. So I'm very lucky. I feel very happy with it. I didn't realize that it could happen, something like that, to have clients through blogging. Yeah, I'm very...
You know, it's shocking that you've only been blogging for a year. It seems so much longer. Because of the popularity of your blog, but also that you are really the only Belgian, you were the only Belgian blog given the popularity of Belgian design. So you really were at the right place at the right time, and your blog could be huge because of it.
I think you're right, Joni. And also, I'm thinking that because I used the word Belgian, from Belgian Pearls, I think it's also a blog when you hear the word Belgium, I think a lot of people are interested and they say, oh, someone from Belgium. Because if you don't use the word Belgium in it, no, you can't imagine that it's a blog from Belgium. And now seeing the word Belgian, I say, everyone can think about, oh, that's a blogger from Belgium. And I think
right. Well, I always stress that, and I say this over and over, but the importance of the name of the blog can't be stated enough. And you prove it exactly right. Belgian Pearls, the name really describes your blog, tells something about where you are. It's a perfect name.
Yeah, I think so. I know that the day before I was thinking about opening a blog, I thought, what name can I use? And I was sure to use the name Belgian. That was the first thing. But then Belgian what? And I thought, okay, what do I like? I like pearls. I really like pearls. So I think, okay, a pearl is a word that can be used for something beautiful. So why not use Belgian pearls, Belgian beautiful things? That's all. That's the thought about the Belgian pearls blog.
Did you consider only writing it in Dutch, or did you always think you needed to write it in English as well?
I always thought, Megan, to read it write it in English because just from the fact that I didn't find Belgian blogs, and I have to be honest, here in Belgium we're not familiar with blogs, not at all. There are a few political blogs and other stuff, technical things, but from interior design there was nothing. So I thought, when I do it here in Belgium, maybe only the Belgian or the Dutch people will read my blog. So it wasn't a good idea. So I thought, okay, I try to write it in English, and then maybe I have more people who will read my blog, because a lot of people all over the world are speaking English. But that's always the problem for me. When I write a blog, I really have, I need some time, because there are so many words. Now it's going better about after a year, but in the beginning I said, oh my goodness, the words. then I really always with a dictionary with me and say, okay, I have to look up. So until I finished the post, it was taking a few hours.
How much time do you spend on blogging now?
Well, now not that much anymore as in the beginning, because I really don't find the time to make two or three blog posts a week. So I try to write two in a week, but sometimes it's very difficult, because sometimes in the evening I say, oh my God, I need to do this blog post again tonight, because otherwise Again, a few days, I didn't. Anyone will hear something with me, and I feel always so something wrong. How my readers, they want to have a new blog post. I always busy with thinking about that, but it's sometimes it's very 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 hard to find the time, especially now. I'm so busy on a few projects, and especially now for the foreign people, so from Switzerland and also France. You really need to make some time. I have to go to Switzerland next week with my husband, so I think it will be difficult in the coming days to blog.
It's a challenge.
I really love it. I really love it, and to learn so much from people from all over the world, the vision about interior design, and I so love everything you wrote about. For instance, the Johnny did a post also from the movies, the interiors of movies, and so on. And I love to read it all about. And now when I'm looking TV and I'm looking to a movie, then I thought, oh, okay. Yes, I see. That's very good. A very good interior. A very nice interior. And then I say, oh yes, I have seen it on that blog or on that blog, or, you know, here in Belgium we have a lot of good architects. But I really have to say that in the US there are really, really, really good architects and designers, as Bobby McAlpine and as John Saladino. Mm-hmm. And a lot of others, you know, and I learned so much, so much. And then I say, oh, we are in Belgium, we are such a small country, and maybe we love all the things from Belgian interiors, okay, but we have good architects. But when I see your architects and you, it's unbelievable, really. It's really beautiful thing. They beautiful interiors, beautiful houses. Yeah, it's very interesting to know more about all this, and some things my husband and I say, why not moving to the US, and why not starting a working place there?
You should. You do really well.
Yeah. The grass is always greener.
The grass is always greener.
Yeah, that's right, Julie. But maybe, well, there are some people we know who are working in the US, but it's not that easy in terms of all the papers who are needed to work
right.
In the US and so on. Yes, it's not that easy. And maybe we are such a small company, then yeah, we have just 7 employees. So I don't know if it's possible, if we are ready now for doing this. I don't know. Maybe in future we can do something, but I think for the moment we are not ready for it.
Yeah.
Well, conquer Europe and then.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, yes. Oh, but Belgium is a small country, and that's very easy for us to go to the Netherlands or Germany or France, because we're surrounded by those three countries, and that's no problem. But from Europe to another country, it's not that obvious, I think.
What city do you live in?
I live in Brakel. It's, let's say, a half an hour driving from Ghent. Or, Linda, a half an hour? No, it's more than an hour. It's an hour driving from Kortrijk and Ypres.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, so yeah, it's
that
it's
would
small,
be a reference
small,
to an ex-boyfriend
small.
Of mine.
Yeah,
that we've chatted about.
Yeah, we have to go for a cup of coffee.
I was wondering, Linda, I was thinking, how does she know Linda's connection with Belgium?
Yeah, we've had a little chat about it.
Linda, did you ever was here in Belgium? Yes, you did.
No,
you
I never made it to Belgium.
Okay.
It's a long, long story.
Joni or Megan, you never went to Belgium? No.
No, yeah. But I went to a French private school growing up, and a family, he was the ambassador to Belgium, the American ambassador. His name was Octave Mervais. And so I grew up with that family. So that was my only connection. And they'd come in and talk about the country. And their French was much different than the Parisian French that we were learning. That's all that I know.
Yeah.
And I did. Yeah. I was treated to some really amazing Belgian chocolate.
Yeah.
And Joni, and you ever in Belgium?
No. Well, I think I did what Megan did. I remember just on the train going from one country to another. I guess, is that typical to get to
Holland,
the Netherlands? Do you have to go through Belgium or something?
Yeah, it could be. If you go from, it could be. It depends on where you're going. But if you are to the Netherlands and you want to go to France, then you have to.
That's what we did. Yeah.
I wish you three were here to have a nice cup of coffee or tea for the moment. It's unbelievable that we are so far from each other and we are talking about as we are sitting around each other, isn't it? It's tough to live in the US, really. I don't know how to say it, I feel very good when I feel familiar with a lot of people there, with the mentality. I think I would love to live there. Yeah, but yeah. Tony, the grass is greener.
If someone was coming to Belgium, where do you suggest they visit? What town or?
Okay. There are a lot of beautiful places and things to visit, of course. Let's think about, for example, Brussels. Then, of course, you have to see the Atomium. Do you know the Atomium?
No.
Have I heard about it? No. It's Atomium is it's one of our most important landmarks. It was built in 1958 for the World Fair in 1958. So it has 9 spheres, and you can take a lift with 9 and to go in the one of the 9 spheres, and then you can see a beautiful sight to Brussels. It's very beautiful. It's one of the things you have to see when you come to Belgium. That's in Brussels. So also we call it the Grote Markt, the marketplace in Brussels is very beautiful. Then you have the Sablon place in Brussels, where all the antique dealers are. So that's very interesting for us. And also a lot of beautiful museums, of course, in Brussels. And then you have Antwerp, and I think we all should visit the Castle of Axelrivoort. That's very beautiful.
Is that open all the time?
It's always a problem. Just 2 times a year, the beginning of June and the end of November. So only 2 or 3 weekends a year it is open for public, the castle. But the canal, so the other showroom we have, the store, the storage place is always open, I think, or 3 days a week. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think 3 days a week and always also on Saturdays. But the castle, no, you can't visit, or you have to make an appointment, of course. But it's only 3 times a year. It's our open house, and then you can go to see everything in the castle. So outside, the beautiful gardens, inside, all the places in the castle. It's very beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
Do you live near there?
It's about 1 hour driving.
Okay. 1 hour. Yeah.
Well, Joni's from Texas, so 1 hour is not that far. In Belgium, that's like another country, but in Texas, that's next door.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
That's 10 miles by Los Angeles time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
All the long distance there and here. If someone are talking about going from Kortrijk to Antwerp, you say, oh my God, it's more than 1 hour driving. And it is just 1 hour driving. It's not far. Yeah,
see, that's where the grass is always greener. In Los Angeles, Beverly Hills is about 10 miles from me. It can usually take 1 hour to get there because of the traffic.
Everyone seems so wealthy in Belgium. Is that a myth?
Yeah, it's a myth, Joni. It's not like that. I remember, and one of both you wrote because it was Ron from Ample, from Ample Lighting, I think.
Yes.
To you, and he was so right. He was so right to about it. It's indeed there are very, very, very wealthy people with all unbelievable big houses, beautiful houses. But there are so much people who are not that wealthy and who are how do you say average and can't afford these big houses and beautiful furniture and antiques. For example, the region of Brussels, then also of Antwerp. There are a lot of wealthy people who are living as in a. Around the city and or just how do you say that county? I don't know if you say county.
Yeah,
I don't know the right word for it, but it's not in the center, but the counties around the city, and there you have a lot of wealthy people together in beautiful houses, beautiful streets. And yeah, I know. I think it's always a misunderstanding. If people heard about Belgium, I know you see the beautiful houses, the beautiful architects' designs, and then you must think from, oh my goodness, in Belgium there are a lot of wealthy people. But okay, there are wealthy people indeed. But I think there are more not that wealthy people who can't. Mm-hmm. The luxury of having a big house and so on.
Well, yeah, what he said, and this is for people that don't know what we're talking about, the man that owns Impel Lighting, which is based out of the Netherlands, said that the basic difference between the two countries is in the Netherlands, there are no wealthy people and no poor people. And as opposed to that, in Belgium, there's a very large, very, very wealthy class and a very large, very, very poor class, and there's not much middle class.
And that way,
when you see the beautiful Beta Plus books that are based out of Belgium, and it looks like everyone lives in these gorgeous, redone country homes, and it's just house after house after house.
Yeah. But it's true. That's true. If you see the Beta Plus book, indeed. But you have to know that you are in a certain how do I say that surroundings of people who are of the same kind. So if for example a couple has built a house with this architect, then friends of them said, oh, you built with this architect. Oh, I want also with this architect, and I take the same interior designer. So you have the people of the same kind, and it are all their houses they show on their books. So you don't see other houses. It's always the houses of these wealthy people, but it's not such a big group of people. It's rather a small group. But you know, if there are 100 houses, it's not that much, but it's always the same houses you see in Beta Plus. It's of the same kind of type of people, friends, you know?
I can explain it in another way, but it's like that. No, I would say that's probably true of anyone looking at another country. I mean, if all you did was look at American shelter magazines and, you know, certain of our movies, you'd think everybody in America was loaded.
I didn't understand that enough.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, if everybody read our magazine, only read our magazines about houses and a lot of our movies, people would think everybody here had lots of money.
Yes, indeed. Yes, that's true.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, great. We are coming to the end of our time.
It was really a pleasure to me. Thank you so much for inviting me for the interview, you three.
Well, we loved having you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, Lina. Bye, Joni. Bye, Megan.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Cote de Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. And this week we are joined by interior designer and blogger Greet Lefevre from the blog Belgian Pearls. Thank you so much for joining us. We can be reached online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or you can download our podcast from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much, and we'll be back soon.